Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, broadcast and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. First, the good news. His TV dad is Benjamin Bratt. And now the bad news. His TV dad is an avenging angel for God. Brett Del Buono. I will get that right. Brett Del Buono currently stars as Ben Banks alongside Benjamin Bratt on the A&E original drama, The Cleaner. And he is going to join us right now. Brett, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, how's it going?
Going okay. Sorry, I butchered your name. I'm just tripping over my own tongue today.
That's fine. I've heard much worse.
You're very kind. Your parents raised you with good manners.
Hey, good enough.
Brett, what is a nice, good-looking kid like you doing in the midst of all the alcoholics and drug addicts that infest The Cleaner?
Well, I'm an actor, so that's kind of the whole scene. But
It's not real? Oh, my
no.
Gosh.
No,
how did you get this job?
Well, I live in Boston, and I go back and forth to New York and to California for auditioning and stuff. And this one, I did every other job I auditioned for it. And then I had a call back, and then I met with the producers and everything, and then we filmed the pilot. And now we just wrapped up season one of The Cleaner.
Wow, you've completely finished the season. Was it 10 or 13 episodes?
It was 13 episodes, including the pilot.
Wow. All right, well, let's back up, because you told a very nice, clean story, and that's wonderful. But this is radio. We have to get people to use their imaginations. Surely, it was a little more complicated landing a role on a show like this. Did you say you only auditioned once and you got called back, or, you know?
Oh, no, I had, all in all, I think it was about, it was a very quick auditioning process compared to the other things I've worked on and stuff, but this took about 3 weeks altogether, which is like a blink in auditioning time. But I went for an initial audition at studios where we shot, which is in Los Angeles, California, and right off of Ventura Boulevard on CBS Radford, which is a studio out here. And I went for the initial audition. I was in there for 10, 15, 20 minutes maybe. And I did the audition. I got a call back for 3 days later, I believe. And I went back, and in the room that time were the director and the writer, who gave me direction and had me tweak the scene a little bit. And then after that, I went for, it's kind of another audition, but it was a like half audition, half meeting thing, where I met with all the head honchos of the show. And I guess they signed off on me then, and I went to meet with the A&E executives, and then I guess they signed off on me. So then I got on the show.
No, see, it was a little more complicated than the original story. What are you, I'm guessing you're 15, 16?
I'm 15, yeah.
15. What's going through your head? I know that you've done some film work, and I know you've done some stage stuff, but this is a pretty good opportunity. What's going through your head, and what are the people around you saying to you as you're going through this process?
Well, everyone around me is really supportive. Like my family, they all want me to keep going. And in my head, I'm just hoping that, if our ratings keep up, and then we'll get a season 2, so I can keep doing this. But this is all I've ever really wanted to do. Not good at much. I just love acting, so this is what I'm hoping to do. That's kind of what's going through my head. Keep working.
Well, let's go backwards a little bit then. What was the first screen role that you had, either TV or film?
Very first screen role I had was in a movie called Freedom Park that I shot when I was 10 years old, I believe. And I filmed in my hometown of Westboro, Massachusetts, and all around there. And so I did that initially, and it was really exciting. You know, it was this very low budget indie film, and it wasn't SAG. It was just it was my first taste, and you know, I've been wanting to do it ever since. So it got me hooked.
How did you know, what took you from that to where you are now? Did someone see you and say, you know what, I see something in this kid, I want to help him along? Or was it just a series of events? You know, I'm asking you this not to drive you crazy, but because I know that there are other young people, and there'll be parents who will wonder, well, how do you break through? I mean, there's an awful lot of people who want to do what you're doing.
Oh yeah. No, it's a lot of work. That's the quickest way to describe it. But what I did was I started off doing theater, and I found out that I really liked it, and then from there, I actually went into modeling, and I was a child model, and that was fun, but that wasn't what I wanted to do. So I started going to New York, because I would go into Boston for modeling and stuff. But I started going into New York, and I went with this TVI actor studio thing. And I went there, and they had an intensive week-long thing where I kind of got to see more facets of the business than I, you know, had previously been involved in or known anything about. You know, I met, like, casting directors and agents and stuff. And so what I did was, from there, I got an agent, and I started going to New York and auditioning for films and television, and I've been getting, you know, bigger work and heavier roles and larger roles, because after I went to New York, I booked a movie called This Revolution that was that went to Sundance in 2005. That was really cool for me, because I actually went to Sundance, and I was a 12-year-old kid at Sundance, so that was cool.
Wow.
So it's just been a very, very slow progression from the stage to modeling to acting to print. But I was in New York, and they said that, you know, if you're really serious about this, you're going to want to go to California. And you know, that was after I'd gotten some work and I'd done projects, and so I could go out to California. But it wasn't as instant as I thought it would be, because I didn't realize, you know, going into this, how many people are trying to do the same thing. You know, there's for guys, there's a lot less than girls too, but for at any given audition, there could be hundreds of kids going for one role, and it's all, you know, you got to have a lot of luck, and then you got to know the part and know what you're doing up there.
Well, you know, you're too young. I can't believe I'm saying this, but you're too young for to remember. But there was a show, maybe you've heard some stories. There was a show years ago, Lassie, and it goes all the way back to the 50s on through the 60s. And the kid who played Timmy on that show wrote a book just in the last year about what it was like in the 50s and 60s being on TV and pursuing exactly what you're going after. I hesitate to recommend it to you because some of it's a little more grown up, but maybe mention it to an agent or folks or something, and it'd be a good book for you to check out. I wanted to give out our phone number if anyone would like to call and talk to Brett Del Buono, co-star of A&E's The Cleaner. I know we've got some activity in the web chat. The number is 646 595-3135. And Brett, we've actually got a call here.
Okay.
Hi, do you have a question for Brett?
Hi, this is a fellow actor, and I was wondering if he had any comments on how to, you know, get noticed like he has obviously done.
All right, and if you could, I'm sorry, Brett, before you answer, if you could you turn down the sound on your computer? Because it's feeding back to us. All right.
Let me step away from that.
All right.
So what's the question again? I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was wondering, I'm a fellow actor also, and I was wondering if you had any ideas or anything that helped you, you know, get noticed when you went into an audition.
Definitely one big thing that I like to do is when I go into an audition, usually the casting directors will try to talk to you for a minute or two, and, you know, they'll try to get a feel for, you know, what kind of kid you are. And what I like to do is, like, going in, I always kind of have a topic to talk about. If they say, like, what's up, like, now the Olympics are on, so I bring up something about the Olympics, and I'll be like, oh, nothing, I've just been watching the Olympics a lot. And you kind of want to let them see your personality, because you don't have a lot of time in the casting office, and you want to leave a lasting impression as best you can. So
try to get remembered, right?
Yeah, talk to them. Yeah, try to stay fresh in their mind and be that interesting person.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem, man.
Thanks for calling. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Brett, how different is it to be acting in a recurring role as opposed to, you know, one movie here, one movie there? It's a little more security, I guess, knowing that week after week you've got a job.
A job, yeah. That's always nice for an actor, because that's the biggest thing that you know that we face is do we have a job coming up, or are we gonna, you know, have to chill out for a couple months and wait for something to come along? But yeah, you know, I'm on the show pretty much every week, with the exception of, I think, 3 episodes this season. So that's, you know, that was great, and it is definitely security, but it's also exciting to know that I get to go to work, because that's, you know, that's my favorite thing to do. The whole other process up to it, it's just kind of work to get to what I want to do, you know. And when I'm on set, I don't feel like I'm actually at a job or anything. I feel like I'm just, you know, having fun, and I'm with people who have the same interest as me, and they all want to do what I want to do. So that's, it's a great environment for me, and it's really it's educational as far as acting goes, you know, because I'm around these people who've been working for years and you know, who know a lot more about the business than I do, and so it's like one giant acting class where people get to see what you're doing, and it's exciting.
When you're out in Hollywood shooting these episodes, do you have a parent or parents with you, or how is that set up?
Yeah, I have to have one parent with me, a guardian at all times on set. So what we actually do is my mom, who's the greatest mom in the world, help, you know, she gives up a lot for me, and she comes out to California with me for a couple months at a time, and we leave, sadly, my brothers and my dad back home, and my cute little doggie, Mika. But we come out to California, and I'll audition or I'll work, and then I'll go home for a while, which is always nice. I'm actually going home soon to spend a few months with my brothers and my father and everything. So it'll be fun. And my, you know, me and my mom are flying home, I think, a week from 2 days ago, Wednesday, day. Yeah. So it's nice to go home after a while.
Now that the show's been on, and I think what's been 4 or 5 episodes have aired at this point.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
4.
It was going to be 5, but we didn't want to go up against the Olympics.
Gee, I can't imagine why not. Were your parents at all concerned about the show's subject matter and you know, the strong language?
You know, not really, because it's not. It's used in a very tactful manner. It's not just you know, the strong language isn't just there to be edgy. It's, they use it in the way, you know, a person would in everyday life. It's not like they toss in a swear word just for the heck of it. And the subject matter is, it's something that should be out there but isn't. So, you know, I feel like it's almost something I should do to help, you know, because we actually have had people call in who've seen the show and, you know, they say who are either addicted or who have friends or family members or loved ones who are addicted, and they, you know, they call in and say, I need help, or look, I've watched the show, this is exactly what my friend's going through, I need you to help them because I don't know what to do. And so that's really a, like, the greatest feeling in the world, knowing that me acting and you know, everyone else on the show, that for all of us, it's the biggest reward possible, because it's not just actors anymore, it's people who are helping other people, you know. Mm-hmm. and I get to help people doing what I love to do, so it's really, you know, a win-win for me.
Well, I think we've got another call here, so let's see. Hi, do you have a question or comment for Brett?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
You're on the air. Yep.
Yeah, hi. It's Scott from California. Quick question. Just curious, what's it like for you on a normal work day there? What's your typical day?
Depending on how many scenes I do usually do about 3 scenes every day that I go in for work. And, you know, I'll go in and when I'm in school, I have to do 3 hours of school on set because I'm a minor and I'm still in school. So I have to do at least 3 hours of school. So I'll usually come in early. I'll do some school. I get my sides that have most likely been revised from the night before, so they're pretty different, and I'll go over them with whoever I'm in the scene with, and then we will have a rehearsal where they'll set up, you know, the shot, and they'll set up the lighting, and then we go chill out for a second while they do all that, and then we go back to work. So, and usually for the kids, because we have to have a set teacher, they like to get us in and out quick so that we're, you know, our whole day isn't spent there, because we do have school and stuff, and when we're not, they don't want us to, you know, not be kids, so they'll have us, you know, they'll have us couple a lot of our work together, and we'll do it in groups of days instead of spaced out over the week. So it's pretty nice. I'll go in and I'll get half of my scene work done in one day, and then I'll go home, and 2-3 days later I'll go in and get the rest done, or maybe space that out over 2 days. So that's basically my day.
That's a good question. Do you have another?
not really. That was it.
All right. Oh, well, that was a good one. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, first time I've ever been asked that.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of it. I thought that was a very good question.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about, you know, I mean, we haven't really explained for people who don't know what the show is about. You are a member of, on the show, you're a member of Benjamin Bratt's family. He is a, you know, I'm not entirely clear. Is he a mechanic? Is that how he earns his living?
Yeah, that's his trade. You know, he works on cars and he fixes up in an old shop, but he also uses this surf shop / you know, auto body custom part repair thing, auto shop, as his base of operations, really. And people who find him, you know, because he doesn't have advertisements, you know, he's not on the internet, you can't really find him anywhere, this guy, kind of a ghost, so it's all word of mouth, and when people find him, they'll come to this repair shop, and they'll come looking for him, but he's a mechanic by trade, just because there isn't always a case to work on, which
right.
is which is a good thing, I guess.
Well, in the cases, this is what we're getting to, is that the cases are a friend or a family member will come seeking him out because they've got a someone in their life who is addicted, and a pretty serious addiction, and they want him to step in. And usually it's what I've seen so far, it seems that they hesitate to bring him in, and because nobody wants to face up to the fact that their spouse or their child or coworker is addicted, and then there'll be some pushback after a while, and then of course something breaks open, and of course, you know, mommy's a dealer, and you know.
Yeah, exactly. That was the week before last episode. That was a good episode. But what people are most hesitant, because you know no one wants to. It's a very taboo subject. No one wants to admit that they're, you know, someone you love is doing something that could be hurting them or is hurting others around them. And the thing is, addicts usually don't realize that it's not just them that these drugs or this alcohol or their gambling or whatever they're addicted to, it's not just them that it affects. It's everyone around them, and it's their family members, and it's everyone who cares about them. And that's kind of what William Banks, who's played by Benjamin Bratt in the show, that's kind of what he tries to show them, you know, and he'll kidnap them by request, not just grab a person for the heck of it, but by request of their family and take them to his rehab and clean them up, hence the name of the show. But mm-hmm. it's a very new thing for me. Like I didn't realize that there were actually people who did this, and I met the guy who actually does it, and he's a great man. It shocks me every day, because he still does all this stuff, and he's still day in and day out helping people, and in all of his free time he comes to set, and he makes sure that, you know, the show isn't becoming something, you know, that it shouldn't, where it's just becoming a piece of Hollywood marketing, or, you know, they want to just kind of make it all dark or unrealistic, you know. And he's there making sure that it's all real, and everything that's, you know, the nitty gritty and all the stuff, you know, you don't want to talk about, that's there, because that's what the real stuff is. And you know, the ultimate aim of the show, the reason why he wanted to do it, is to help people. And he's a great man, and I respect him very much for all that.
I want to send a word out. We've got a caller, stay with us. I'll get to you in just a second. Brett, I was kind of curious. You're 15. I've got a daughter who's like 11, 11 and a half. I'm not trying to set you up, don't get me wrong, but my question is this. I remember this past year in school, they introduced a lot of stuff about drug addiction and alcoholism, and you know, we were kind of amazed at the amount of information that she came home with, and stuff that, you know, she didn't even know existed before. And I'm thinking, I mean, you're a young guy, and you know, I'm sure you're starting to deal with an awful lot of things. It was a long time ago, but I was 15 once, and I'm kind of wondering if, yeah, kind of what you were saying about this guy a minute ago. Does it shock you, the things that are in the scripts, the things that you're hearing about from this guy who actually is a cleaner?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, when I initially read the script, the first thing I thought was, is this real? Is there really a guy who does this, or is it? Because it seemed kind of far fetched. But you know, I met the guy, and it's not at all. This is actually what he does, and they actually tone it down a little bit, because it is TV.
Right.
But it amazes me how much addiction there is out there, and how many different types of people it affects. Because you know, like in our first episode, the person who was addicted, he was addicted to methamphetamine, and he was, you know, a 15-year-old little kid who lived in this suburban house, and what had happened was his father died, and he needed something to escape to, I guess, and so he started using, abusing drugs, and you know, just graduated until he finally got to meth. And then in one of the most recent episodes, there was a housewife, you know, a suburban housewife, seemed like she had the perfect life, and she was taking pills, and it just shows that it doesn't matter how you were brought up or where you live, it can affect you. And that's the most shocking thing to me, because I never really thought of it as, you know, it could be anyone I know could be addicted to anything, you know. And it's a real eye opener. It makes you think, and that's that's an exciting thing to have when you're on a show, you know, something that makes you actually think about what's going on.
That's good. You've obviously got a little intelligence and maturity beyond your age, and you seem to handle this well. Let's see what this caller has for you. Hi, do you have a question for Brett?
Hi, Brett. This is Sally from L.A. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to find out. We watch your show every Tuesday, and we love the show. You do really good. And just wanted to find out, are you anything like your character on the show in real life? Your character is not very nice.
No, I'm not like my character. I have my moments of moody teenagerness, but that's just being a teenager, I guess. But no, my character's been through a lot more than I have, and I feel like I have a lot closer relationship with my father, and so I don't face the same problems he does. To that respect, you know, every kid has problems, but I think the big deal with my character is that his problems are more deeply rooted in family than most's are.
Well, you do a really good job. I just have to tell you, my teenage daughter loves watching you, so we look forward to watching you every Tuesday.
Oh, thank
you. Good luck in the future.
Thank you.
That's very nice. Thanks for calling. That was a good call.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good question.
So, well, let me ask you, since you mentioned her teen daughter, the show's been on, you know, about 4 episodes now. I mean, it's a little early, but TV spreads quickly. Are you getting recognized? Are you hearing from, you know, teens who are like, oh, Brett, you know, not yet?
No, not really. It'd be kind of cool to get some of that, but I don't. I'm not getting any of that. I'm just getting family members going, oh, you did so good on the show. I'm so proud of you. I get a lot of that. But,
uh-huh.
You know, they're obligated to. They're my family.
Well, that's true. That, you know. You know, you can't pick your family. So they have to be supportive. Now it'll be interesting. I know you're going home next week. Have you been back home since the series started airing?
No, I haven't. I haven't been back home since. Actually, I was back home for 2 weeks, about 2 months ago.
Well, that was before
that was before we started airing. But about. I've been out here filming the show since April.
So it's been
a while.
Do you have a sense of, you know, are people excited back home? Local kid makes good kind of thing? Are we going to...
Yeah, probably. My brother, the people who are probably most excited are my brother and my father, because we're a pretty tight-knit family, and, you know, we spend a lot of time together when I'm home. So it'll be cool to see them again, because I haven't seen I have two older brothers, but the one who's the middle one, so I haven't seen him for about 4 months. So I miss him a lot. We've actually just started getting along. We've just passed that phase where you hate your brother, and now we love each other. So
oh, that's good. That's very nice.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to get home and see him and hang out with him for a little bit.
All right. Let me give out our phone number again if you're waiting for an opportunity to talk to Brett and ask him about The Cleaner. Want to ask him about Benjamin Bratt, you can do that. I don't know what answer you'll get, but you can certainly ask. 646. He's laughing. Maybe I'll ask. 646-595-3135. Okay, I'll ask. So, first of all, I'm wondering... Have you seen him in anything before the show? I'm imagining
Benjamin
when he
Bratt?
Was on Law and Order. Yeah, when he was on Law and Order, that was a little before your time.
Yeah, I wasn't an avid Law and Order watcher, but I've seen his work, and I actually right before I went for the audition, it was kind of funny because I was watching Miss Congeniality, which was a movie he was in, and I never realized how good of an actor he is, and it was great when I started working with him, because it's just, you know, it's a treat every day. I go to work and I see all my friends, and you know, they become more like a family than not. And Benjamin is just, he's so helpful, you know, and he it seems like he really cares about me doing well, and I appreciate that so much. He takes care of me when I'm on set, you know, and he makes sure that I'm having fun and that that I'm looking good on the camera. So, you know, if he's listening, thank you, Benjamin.
If Benjamin, if you're listening, you want to call in and put him on the spot, that'd be okay too. he seems, you know, I've enjoyed watching him for years, but he seems, for the most part, to be, and I guess it's just in the roles, but to be a very intense gentleman.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because he's not flippant, but he's not that quiet. He's kind of quiet. I don't know. He's very hard to explain. he's a very nice guy though. He's not a ton like his character. You know, he's a great dad. he's got two kids of his own, and you know, he talks about his kids a lot. And it's, you know, obvious that he loves his kids. But he's just a great guy, and it's, you know, like I said, it's a treat to work with him every day.
The as the series opens, you are playing football. He is your coach. Kind of an ugly way to set the scene for a father and son situation, but I guess it's appropriate to the characters.
Yeah. Yeah, what happens with in the pilot, if everyone listening has seen it, you know, it sets up that there's a rift with his family, you know, mm-hmm. that there's definitely two separate parts of his life. There's his work part and there's us as the family. And what, you know, we as the family struggle with is he spends so much time at work. Does he still love us, you know, and we know that it's not so much love. Does he care about us as much as he cares about his work? Because we know that he's our father. He loves us. But is he gonna devote everything to work? Like, because before he was addicted to, you know, he was addicted to drugs, and he's sort of replaced being away from us because of getting high and stuff and using drugs with being away from us helping people. And the difference is now you can respect him being away more, and you can make it okay, I guess, by thinking about it as he's helping people. It's not him doing drugs anymore. He's actually helping people out, but to the same, you know, same effect, to the same respect, he's still not there. And as a kid, as a wife, as you know, someone's son or someone's daughter, you want your dad around, and he's not there 100% of the time, and it just upsets you. And he's a very, you know, the character, he's a very, very intense guy, and he wants, you know, he wants to get stuff done, and so then there's the pressure, the whole pressure aspect of it, and you wanna make him proud of you. But at the same time, you know, my character's striving for a little independence from his father. And you know, as most teenagers do, he's testing the boundaries. The only difference is he's not a regular father, and we don't have a regular relationship. So it's interesting to see how our relationship evolves throughout the season.
Well, I was going to say, there's a great scene near the end of that first episode. I don't want to give too much away. People really should see the pilot. But at the dinner table, where he's very blunt with you and the young lady who plays your younger sister about where he was when one of you was born, what he was doing, and what he's doing now. And it's just, it's like there's one, well, I tell you, it's a very dramatic episode. It could be a movie. It could easily have just been like a two-hour movie, that episode.
Yeah, that's what we call them, our little one-hour movies.
Yeah, it's very intense, and you know, I was going to say that, you know, a great deal of each episode focuses on Benjamin and, you know, the addict of the week, basically. People who've watched, you know, a lot of hour-long dramas know that, you know, there's there's the recurring parts, in this case the family and the family interaction, and then there's the addict of the week and their story. And so, you know, when you have a scene with him, or any scene, it tends to be very intense. It's not like, oh, you know, give me the remote, I want to let me pick what's on TV. It's like, it's very tense, and
yeah,
you know, really get involved in it. Let me give out the phone number again. I know that the web chat's been very active, a lot of people in and out of there today, and we've obviously had some calls. So if you'd like to talk to Brett, co-star of The Cleaner, it's Brett Del Buono. Did I get it right that time?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Give us a call, 646-595-3135. Brett seems very able to handle himself. I'm sure he can take any question you can throw at him. Bring it. There you go. That's the hot attitude. Bring it on. Come on now. Benjamin Bratt is not the only big star you've worked with. You've had some other interesting roles. Tell me about Rosario Dawson and the short film you did, The Casket.
I worked with Rosario Dawson on This Revolution.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that backwards.
That's cool. With Rosario was she's a beautiful woman. She's very, very kind woman. And she was a lot of fun to work with because, you know, I was younger and it was cool because, you know, she's very, very pretty. All my friends were jealous of that. So I got lucky there, but she's actually a great actress, and she's really, really nice, you know, and for the level of success that she's had. And when I was, you know, working with her, she was successful at that time too. And it was cool because she was just very down to earth. You know, she was a chill, I guess, person. She was very relaxed and very, very nice. And so that was a lot of fun working with her. And she makes it easy, and she gives great scenes when she works. So it wasn't too hard working with her. But that way.
I could believe that. I can believe that. She is a beautiful woman, and I'm hoping that you have not yet seen her in Clerks 2.
No, I have not seen Clerks 2.
All right. Well, you can wait until you're 18, I think. Hey,
I've been told I should.
Yeah, I would wait. But, you know, once you're old enough, it'll be great. Got another phone call for you here. Hi, do you have a question or comment for Brett Del Buono?
Yes, I do. Hi, I'm Alice, and I was wondering, what's it like working with Benjamin Bratt?
It's a lot of fun. He's a very, like, you know, like I said before, he's a really nice guy. He helps me out a lot on set too. Like if I'm having trouble on a scene, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. He's very, you know, not vain or self-centered at all. It's easy to work with him because, you know, he's kind of a big star. So it's you know, it was intimidating at first, but now I get to work with him, and he, you know, he treats me with the same respect he would treat any actor, and that's something I really appreciate too. And one thing that we do that's helpful for both of us is, well, you know, if we have a big intense scene together, because that's where most of my intense scenes are, that's with him. So we'll sit down and we'll actually talk, you know, we'll talk the scene out. You know, and we'll switch around the dialogue. We'll not even use dialogue. We'll just talk about what's going on, and that's a quick way to get in the character's mindset, and it's a great way to start thinking as the character would think, and get into that moment for the character. So, all in all, it's a real honor to work with Benjamin, and it's fun.
Well, that's great, and just so you know, I think you're really cute.
Thank you.
Alice, I was just going to ask you, would you like to see more of Brett in the future?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think he's one of the best characters on the show.
Well, that's not quite what I meant, but yeah, okay.
Well, thank
Alice,
you very much.
Thank you for calling.
No problem.
Bye-bye. I think you're going to get a good reaction when you get home next week. I have a feeling there's going to be some girls that are going to be very happy to see you, and girls that you didn't even know existed are suddenly going to make themselves known to you.
Oh wow. I hope my grandma's listening.
Hi, Grandma. I'll tell you what, I showed your picture to my daughter. I can't show her the show. She's a little too young for that.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you think? You think he's kind of cute? She said, well, and Dad has never asked this. So, you know, she had a kind of, well, Dad, and she's giving me this look, and she's staring at the picture. Dad, I said, no, I'm just, you know, not a big deal. She said, well, at least 50%.
I said, at least 50%. That's fine by me.
Yeah, well, there you go. And then
It's the curly hair. It's the curly hair.
You're saying it works for you, huh?
it's the long curly hair. That's all I got going, I guess.
let's tell Alice and some of the other young ladies out there. When you're not acting, what are you interested in? What do you how do you spend your time?
When I'm not acting and I'm not in school, I like to I've picked up guitar last year, so I've been playing a lot of guitar. And that's a lot of fun. And I started swimming because I got to stay in shape because I'm playing Benjamin Bratson, and that guy's in the best shape humanly possible. So, yeah, you know, I'll exercise and I'll play guitar. When I'm home, actually, me and my brothers, my oldest brother plays semi-pro hockey, so, you know, I'll get on the ice and I'll play hockey with him for a while. My other brother's great golfer, a great baseball player, so I'll do a lot of sports when I'm home, and probably mow the lawn a lot when I'm home, because as the youngest, I now get to mow the lawn, and I've been driving. I got my permit a little while ago, like 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, and I've been driving, so that's fun.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I passed. Only got 3 wrong out of 46.
That's very good. And you know, as I said before, I do remember having been 15 once, and getting your license. That's the big moment. There'd be some other things, but that's freedom, my friend. You enjoy that. Got for you here. Hi, you have a question or comment for Brett Del Buno from The Cleaner?
Yes, I wanted to know if you commuted back and forth to Boston.
Yeah, I did. I did when I was doing the modeling and stuff, and it's a quick trip for me. I think it's like 35, 45 minutes to get into the city. So I used to do that. I used to do that a lot. I used to just, you know, my mother would drive me in, and we'd go in. I'd do the audition, grab some food in the North End, and then head back out home. And that's actually where, you know, it all started, was going into Boston. And then from Boston, it went to New York, and then New York came out here to L.A.
Did that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Let me ask you what I asked Alice a minute ago. Would you like to see more of Brett?
Of course.
Yeah.
It was a leading question.
Does he have a girlfriend?
Do I have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yes, I do, right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well. But we would like to see more of you, so.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Bye.
Hello.
Are we having fun yet, Brett?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now we're getting to the meaty questions.
Yeah, and I'm glad it's the girls that are asking these questions.
Yeah.
not the questions I'm the most comfortable having to ask a 15-year-old. I want to ask you about another movie. This one, I think we'll find that more people have seen Balls of Fury, Christopher Walken, George Lopez. How did you land that role, and what did you do in that film?
I landed the role pretty much the same fashion I landed, this role. It was just auditioning, and I came out here, and I had I was actually just about to leave for home again, but I had an audition for, you know, this movie, Balls of Fury, and it was this comedy with ping pong and the underworld of ping pong, and it sounded really funny. So, and I went to the audition, and I got a call back. And I went on the callback, and that was one of the most exciting callbacks I've ever been on, because I watched the show Reno 911 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen it, but two of the guys from Reno 911, Tom Slannon and Ben Garrett, were in the room at the callback, and I went in and I was like, oh, my God, this guy's from Reno 911, and I didn't know whether I should say something or whether I should just sit there with the dopey smile I had on my face at the time. So, you know, I met them, and that was a treat. And then later on, I got to meet Christopher Walken, and that was cool. He was, you know, because he's Walken, and I was tempted to go up and be like, "Gotta have more cowbell," and see if he would respond to that. But I didn't. I was nervous how to go up to him, so I ended up going up to him, and I said, He had this fan that lit up, and I knew exactly what it was, but I wanted to get into a conversation with him because I was nervous. So I said, "Oh, is that a fan?" And that was how we started. And he was all excited about the fan, so it was kind of cool. But yeah, so I met him, and he said, "Hi, I'm Chris." And I said, "Chris, what? I don't know what I was expecting them to say. I don't know." I mean, I don't introduce myself as Brett Daniel Del Buono, but I was kind of expecting, "Hello, I'm Christopher Walken." But that's not what came out. "Hey, I'm Chris." And I was like, "Ah, hello."
I guess you're fine, because I guess people are protective of their stage names and their names in productions, that they use their full name there, but they're still, you know, Bob or Brad or Chris. And
yeah,
well,
when you really meet them, it's still their, you know, what they are in real life. You know, it's what people call them on a day-to-day basis. It was just weird. I wasn't ready for that. That was just a mind-blowing moment. Because I used to watch him on, I was a big SNL buff, and so I used to watch, you know, all of his stuff on SNL when he was, I believe it was The Continental, right?
Right, absolutely.
That was one of my favorite SNL skits. It was just funny, and so I met him, and it was just it didn't seem real. And he was such a great guy, and George Lopez too was he was a great guy. He was just very nice, and you know, he it's been great because everyone I've met who's been, you know, a big celebrity, hear all these horror stories, but everyone I've met, you know, I've been lucky enough to meet people who are all very down-to-earth people and very, very nice, and that's what I've been experiencing, and I'm just excited that that's what I get to work with.
No, it's good. It's, you know, it's good to hear good stories, because there's plenty of horror stories. Yeah, absolutely. Let me give out our phone number one last time before we head into the end here, and you've been a great sport, Brett. You never know when you arrange to talk to someone about your age, about something like this. You know, you never know what you get into. But I've been very impressed. You're a very smart kid, very mature, and you tell a good story. And you do a great Christopher Walken.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's been years and years of practice on my Walken. It used to sound a lot like Shatner. And sometimes when I actually say full sentences and not just more cowbell, it comes out Shatner. So,
I appreciate that.
Luckily, I got to stop at cowbell.
last chance, if you want to get a phone call in here, ladies especially, 646-595-3135. Are there any constraints on you in terms of, I imagine there's only so many hours that you can work because of school rules and labor laws in California. But in terms of the types of roles that you take, is there, you know, have you talked with your parents and have they said, okay, you know, we want to support your career and you're doing great, but, you know, there's certain things that we would have to say no to on your behalf?
Luckily, I haven't had too many roles, but I think the only thing that, you know, there would be a big objection to would be something more overtly, more overtly sexual than what's going on, because that's, you know, that's the biggest. You don't want to be known as that guy who, you know, is met doing, you know,
yeah.
who's up there just doing things for the sake of doing it. I mean, if it was done tactfully, it all depends on the subject matter. It all depends on how it's done, really, for me and my family, I believe, because, you know, I don't know if I can speak for them, but if it's done for the sake of being edgy or for the sake of trying to be, you know, cool, it's not real for me, and there's no point in making that. But if it's done for, you know, if it's done because that's what would really happen in that situation, mm-hmm. then it's much easier to, you know, justify doing it. But, you know, as far as swearing and stuff goes, and I don't think there's a big problem with that. My family, I come from an Italian and Irish family, so there's quite a bit of that at Christmas.
At Christmas?
I'm
wonderful.
Kidding, I'm kidding.
Some
Santa Claus.
Yeah. Screw Santa Claus. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. More eggnog.
Yeah, more eggnog.
You know, in shows like this, there comes a point where the writers start maybe reaching a little bit, and your story arc. It seems like when you have a family in a drama, something bad happens to all of them at some point. Now,
yeah.
Obviously, we haven't seen the last 9 episodes of the season. You're done with the season, you mentioned. Is anything bad going to happen to Ben Banks? Or if not this season, do you think the writers have something in mind for you in the future?
Well, it depends on what you mean by bad. Like, if you mean, you know, something that it's wrong by most standards, then then yes, something bad may happen.
Uh-huh.
If you watch the show every week.
No.
But,
oh, that's a tease. Okay, you have to watch it every week, and maybe
every
something
single
bad
week.
Will happen.
And
to Ben.
Maybe
okay.
If you don't watch it every week, it's going to be Barney in 2008. my character, he's obviously, you know, he's got problems, so, you know, those come to the forefront during the season. And you know, the girl who plays my sister, Liliana, she goes through stuff this season too. And of course my mother and father, you know, who are at each other's throats at points in the season, you know, it shows their happiest moments and their, you know, their saddest moments, and it's full of emotion, but it's all real, you know, organic, and it all fits, and it's all real for me, at least. And I hope when people are watching, you know, they get that same feeling too, that this isn't just a TV show. It's a description or you know, kind of like viewing, you know, a real family with real problems. Granted, these problems are ones that families don't really face. You know, I could compare it to my own, but you know, I feel like I'd be stretching a bit there. Because I don't face the same stuff. It is a regular family in some respects. You know, we have our moments of family dinners where we're all just sitting there and we're all happy and we're chatting. And we also have our quiet family dinners where no one wants to say anything because you know, something bad's happened or something bad could happen if the wrong thing is said. So it's a good show of what really happens in life.
Well, Brett, we've got someone did sneak in under the wire here. We've got one more call for you, I think. Hi, you have a question or comment for Brett Del Buono?
Of course. How's your experience been working on the show?
It's been great. You know, they're all really nice people. I get to work with great people every day, and I'm actually going to spend some time with a guy who plays Esteban. Me and him became a guy who plays Swenton. I'm sorry, his real name is Esteban Powell, but we became friends. So, you know, we hang out. We've gone out for, you know, me and my mother and him and his friends. We all went bowling one night, and you know, Benjamin again. He's a great guy. He helps me out when I'm working and when I'm not working. He's just very welcoming and inviting. He never shuts his dressing room door, so we can go in at any time. Just talk to him if you want to. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and my, you know, my mother on the show is great. Sister on the show is great. Everyone's really, really a nice guy. And it's actually, you know, we've pranked each other a few times on set. I set up a prank for for Kevin, who plays Darnell on the show.
Right.
I went in his room when he wasn't there, and he was coming in later that day, and I took a bunch of pictures of Esteban, who plays Swenton on the show, and I put them up in his room, and I put hearts all over them, and I wrote, I love Esteban, marry me, Esteban.
Nice.
All over them, and then they got me back with a lovely poster where they put my head on a bodybuilder's body.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's a great environment, so it's fun to work on the show.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for calling.
No problem.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. So I guess I need to ask you, because I'm not sure. I thought I had read that the show had been renewed for another season. Am I getting ahead of things?
Oh, I hope not. If it is renewed for another season, that's great. I don't know anything yet. You know, I'm an actor, so I'm second to last on the list to find out. But if it is renewed for another season, you've just put me in a terrific mood.
Ah, well, I wasn't sure. I should have double checked. I wasn't sure. I thought if it had been, you would certainly know for sure. obviously, you're looking forward and hoping to come back for another year.
Oh yeah, very much. You know, it's great to work on, and they're gonna, if we have a season two you're talking about, and they're gonna do some really, really interesting stuff with it, and hopefully it'll keep viewers watching, and we can have a bunch of viewers next week and the week after and the week after and through season 28. So.
Well. Folks, you can learn more about Brett Del Buono and The Cleaner on A&E by visiting www.aetv.com/the-cleaner/. And the easier way to do it is probably just go to aetv.com and click on the button. It's probably got Benjamin Bratt's face, I'm guessing, and it'll take you to the site. And I suspect it will not be long that Brett Del Buono will have his own website, because I suspect, based on the young ladies who called in tonight, there's going to be a lot of demand. Brett, you are a great guest. You seem like a charming young man. I want to wish you all the best, and thank you for joining us in Mr. Media today.
Oh, thank you very much, man. It was a fun interview.
Thank you. Go back, have a great time, spend your time with your family, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for a second season for you.
All right, we'll do it. And tell your daughter, hopefully I can move up to 75% at least.
I will tell her.
All right,
Brett, thanks very much for calling.
All right, take bye-bye. It easy.
All right, bye-bye. So, folks, for dozens more celebrity and media newsmaker interviews, surf over to our main website at www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my previous conversations with the stars, writers, and producers of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, SpongeBob SquarePants, The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, Heroes, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Army Wives, 24, The Big Bang Theory, Bad Santa, Tell Me You Love Me, The Dark Knight, The Spirit, and many others. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites, whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, Digital Journal, Blueberry, Zencast, Odeo, Kindle, or iTunes. And thank you so much for listening today. A lot of you called in. That was great. A lot of you were in the web chat. I appreciate your time. And if you're hearing us on archive, thank you for your time. Please come back and catch us again real soon. Bye, everybody.